Blog Talk Radio.
McCarty, tell your story.
So many wonder how I survived. I can't say it was easy, but I'm still alive. God never left me, He stayed by my side. And I am so grateful He kept me.
Not this time.
Through all my struggles and
disappointment too, you were there.
You were right there.
Listen,
I can't even tell you all I've been through. The times I was down and didn't know what to do. I almost gave up, but the Lord came and He rescued me.
Through it all.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. How many God is holding together today? You were listening to God Held It Together by Zacardi Cortez. Amen. If there ever was a time when we need to continue to look to God for our health and strength, to continue to look to God to hold us together. Hallelujah. For without God, we could do nothing. Without him, we would certainly crumble. We would fall. We would faint. Hallelujah. But I'm reminded of the scripture that says, they that wait, they. Hallelujah. If you want God to hold you together, sometimes you have to get the mind of the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 40:31, he said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They should mount up with wings as of an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many feel like waiting on the Lord? Now, when you wait on the Lord, you got to realize that don't mean trouble is going to cease. That don't mean that you won't ever go through anything. That won't mean that you won't be disturbed or rattled sometime. But when you wait on God, Jesus, he will certainly bring you out. Because remember, he is attentive to our cry. Oh, I thank God for Jesus today. I thank God for holding me together for almost 30 years. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where in the world that I would be on this afternoon. Amen. So I just praise God this afternoon. This is Friday for some folks. Hallelujah. And you know, if you're in the world and you don't have a Savior, all you're thinking about is, thank God it's Friday. It's time to get your groove on. It's time to shake your groove thing. Oh, but when you love Jesus, hallelujah, you have a different mindset. Every day is Friday with Jesus. Every day you're able to fall in love with him. Amen, amen. So we greet you in the awesome, matchless, magnanimous name of Jesus. Those are just a few adjectives. But you know, there is no accurate adjective to describe our God. But one I love, hallelujah, and I'm trying to get to that place, is holy. We're going to describe our God today as a holy God, because that's what he is. Now, that's an accurate adjective. He's holy. Amen, amen. We love him today. We like to greet all of you, hallelujah, out in radio land, those that are on the internet listening live, and those that come on the chat room. We thank God for you. We had about 44 live listeners that was listening on the internet on yesterday. Amen, and we had, God did a little shifting on yesterday, but this week, amen, we have been talking about a subject, and Prophet Michael Davis, he did part one and part two and part three, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, talking about why seek ye the living among the dead. Amen. And the Lord did a little twist yesterday because he wanted to send a warning not to kill you, but a warning to give you encouragement to know that you have to live holy. In spite of the difficulties, in spite of what we're going through, we have to live holy. Amen. So we talked about on yesterday, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever man sow, that will he also reap. So we're at the closing of another beautiful, fantastic week that the Lord have blessed us to see. And I tell you, God has been sending a rhema word and a logos word. Amen, amen. And I learned something new today from our speaker. Amen. And I'm just so happy to have, again, one of our recurring speakers, and that's none other than Dr. District Elder Winston Singleton of Greater Enrichment Ministries there in Los Angeles, California. Amen, amen. And we all love Dr. Singleton here on New Destiny Ministries. He has proven himself to be faithful. He has proven himself to be a friend, a mentor, a man of God that we honor and respect. A man that has traveled extensively preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you all tuning in a little bit later, you may miss it. So I tell you to tune in early if you don't have time to go back into the archives. If you tune in early, you can hear the message in its entirety. But if not, we'd like to invite you to visit our website at www.newdestinyministries.com, and you can listen to these messages, these weekly messages on our website, or you can listen at blogtalkradio.com and you search for New Destiny Ministries. We would love to hear from you all. Send us an email, amen, or send us a message in the chat room and let us know how much you are enjoying these men and women of God. And if there's any subject matters that you would like to see elaborated on, we would gladly oblige you of that request. Amen. So with no further ado, we'd like to present to some and introduce to others our speaker of the hour, and that's none other than my cousin, young man that has been married almost 20 years. I think he's at 20 years now. A young man that loved the Lord. Amen. He is assistant pastor at Greater Bethlehem Temple Church, but God has blessed him with his own ministry also. And he is the founder of Greater Enrichment Ministries there in Los Angeles, California. So we're going to let him open up with the word of prayer. And however the Lord lead him, he has free course. Amen. So God bless you, Dr. Singleton.
Thank you very much, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, and to the host and to those and the co-host and to the magnanimous people of God that's here and abroad. We thank the Lord. First of all, we give honor to God, who's the head of our life. We thank the Lord for his wonderful presence that's in this world and in this broadcast on today. I feel spirit of freedom at this moment. And so, therefore, before we go on further, let's just go into a quick word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for bringing us all together collectively at this moment in time for the next 2 hours, Lord God, to bring us into awareness of togetherness, of power, of love, of sound-mindedness, of security of within ourselves. Father, we thank you, Lord, right now, Lord, because, Lord, you said that your word would not go out and return unto its void, that it would accomplish for wherever it's sent. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to come forth, Lord, to exalt your name among your people, for they're great people. And, Father, everyone that's listening on today, Lord, give them something today that they can take back with them, that they can be a light to their families, a light to their community, a light to their church or ministry, that, Lord God, they will expand in the riches in which you have for them and their purpose. Father, we thank you, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We thankful for being here today. I heard so much about the radio broadcast during the week, and I get very excited when different people talk, because it's almost like a all you can eat buffet, where you see various recipes that God has given to people to prepare, and then you can dabble on one recipe, and then you can taste something that someone else has, because the Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And sometimes God gives people sometimes God speaks to people directly in a logos way. In other words, he gives you an expression of idea or conception or ideology in the spiritual realm. And then what you do, he causes you to bring it forth in a rhema presentation, a spoken word based on the written and spoken word. So therefore, God is able to, as I would say, he downloads the wisdom of revelation to us, but then he uploads unto us through our testimonies and through the word of God. And the Bible said that the Holy Spirit, what it does, it recalls and brings back to our remembrance the things that we need to know. The Bible said we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make an intercession for us through groans and it cannot be uttered. So therefore, we have a God that knows how to equip us and give us what we need. I think it's a powerful scripture on today concerning of, and I won't read it entirely, but I'm just talking about as far as it's based upon, this week was based upon, why look for the living among the dead? We noticed that the angel was saying that to those who were at the tomb. And Jesus had already risen, and he was alive and well. But sometimes we think that those that are dead, sometimes you might have to look back. God might have raised them up, and you thought they were down. And you remember the time when they thought that you were dead and you was out of it, and God raised you up, and they was looking to see where you was left when you were dead, and you found out when they went to that corner, they went to that alley, they found out you was no longer there because God has made you, he relocated you. I remember the Bible says, he said he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear son. So some of us have been translated from the form of dead to the now the form of living. And so Jesus was gone out of the tomb. The angel rolled the stone away, and they went inside and saw the clothing, and it was folded up. And the angel said unto them, he is risen. Why look for ye the living among the dead? But I had a thought in mind this week that I was going to talk about, but the Lord seemed to shift me this morning. some of us need to shift our paradigm on how we look at life. The Bible says that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither his ways our ways, as the heavens are above the earth. So is God's thoughts higher than our thoughts. The Bible said, trust in him with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The Bible says, steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Bible also said, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord with all your mind, all your soul, or total being, and all your might, all your energy. So the God that we're talking about today is a God of animation. He's a God of expansion. He's a God of reconstruction. He's a God that wants to insert in you passion and abilities. But it's up to us today to open our minds to what God wants us to do. For the Bible said that God works in us both the will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, God placed in you the passion to do what you have a desire to do. And then he gives you the know-how. The Bible said in the book of James, he said, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or many different types of trials and tribulations. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But look what he said here. He said, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be entire, wanting nothing. But look what he said here. If any of you lack wisdom, lack the know-how, lack the ingenuity, lack the creativity, lack of revelation, he said, let him or her ask of God, who he gives to every man liberally or freely and upbraideth not. He said, but let that man or woman ask in faith, not wavering. So the problem is today we have a living God, but a lot of us have a dead mind. How can God stimulate your mind when you won't let him in? He said, you know, Jesus said, you let me in. He said, me and my Father come in. We'll sup with you. We'll walk up and down in you. We will cause you to be animated. But today we have to open our minds and think about this. You are not all that, and you're definitely not a bag of chips. God wants you to open your mind up this morning, this afternoon, and he wants you to rethink things over. He said, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Why look for the living among the dead? Why are you thinking the old thoughts that you had? Some of your ideas are dead. and God rejuvenated you, and you're going back to the old idea that you had before he delivered you from it. God said, stop going back to what you used to be and move forward to what you should be. I heard Paul say, just digressing for a moment, Paul said, I'm not writing unto you, brothers, as though I've already apprehended or already arrived. He said, but this one thing that I do, he said, forgetting those things that are behind, I'm reaching for those things that are in front of me. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Some of us are not only, I used to use the term out there, deadbeat daddies. In other words, fathers is not taking on the responsibility of aiding their children that they might have gotten from whatever sources. But we got some of us are deadbeat leaders. Some of us are deadbeat leaders. We're deadbeat because we won't move to the next level of God wants us to. You said, what is the next level, Elder? God is mandating that you go forth to help other people. The Bible said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Bible also said for you to be an example of the believers in words and deeds and conversation and faith and charity and purity. God is mandating that we become the lively stones, that we become the royal priesthood, that we become lights of the world. But some, if your light is out today, you're dead. But he said, why look for the living among the dead? If you're dead, then I don't see something. God is looking for lively stones. God's looking for animated, stimulated, activated, associated with good people. He wants you to be lovers of good men. He wants you to allow him to use you to set life, to cause life, light in darkness, to cause life where people are dying. We have that power, saints. And so God took me to a different level or a different area today of concerning of why look for the living among the dead. And I want you to turn with me if you have your Bibles. The book of Luke, St. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 20. I'm not going to go into great details concerning what Jesus said, but he said something specific that I want to use today concerning of the living. We're going to start with verse number 33 from chapter 20 of the book of Luke. That's chapter number 20, verse 33. We're going to read down to 38 of the book of Luke, St. Luke's Gospel. And we pray that what God has given us today in the ship, that it will saturate your hearts and cause you to, you know, look at things in a different perspective than you have before you heard the broadcast. Okay, that's Luke chapter number 20, verse 33. Starts off by saying, therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. Number 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. Number 35. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Number 36. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Number 37 says, now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is where I wanted to really get right here, verse number 38. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. I want to read that verse again. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. That was very powerful when I read that, because
the God Jesus was making mention to his people, the Jews, that I want you to recognize the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. That is the same God that met Moses at the burning bush. In other words, the bush was burning but not consumed. But God introduced himself to Moses, and he made mention that I am that I am. But he was also telling us, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But then you make mention, well, what that has to do with living? Well, let me tell you. God has always been interested in living things. God has always been involved in living things. If you can remember back in Genesis chapter number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. But look what happened here. We saw in the beginning was darkness and wet, no formality whatsoever. But look what brought forth the light, the Spirit of God. Moved upon the thing that was dark and deep and gloomy and brought forth life. Even to the point where he talked about, I can't recall what verse, maybe verse 6 or verse somewhere in there, where he said, I want now that deep that I brought my spirit upon, I want to bring forth the creatures of the deep. The living creatures, the whales, and if you not know the birds that we see outside with wings and beaks, they didn't come from the ground like the cattle. They came directly out of wet water. So the deep was dark and grim and gloomy, but God's spirit, the spirit of the living God, got into the water and caused life. Why look for the living among the dead? Our God is a living God. God causes life. So when he caused life to occur, then the Bible went on, then God began to become so creative in his work. The Bible said that man, he formed a man from the dust of the ground. But man was lifeless. He was laying there naked. He was laying there from one form to another. First of all, he was dust. And God took the dust and gathered together and formed the man. He formed a human body. But the human body had no spirit. It wasn't live. But God, the Bible said, he formed man from the dust of the ground, and God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I remember the song that we sing sometimes. The song said, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores. I was very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But look what he said. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the very waters he lifted me, and now safe am I. Love lifted me. When nothing else can help, the living God reached down and stirred me up, picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on higher ground. But let me just digress for a moment and let you know, God just put in my heart something. What disturbs me today at this lively gospel, a lively word of God that's being projected into the world, is not penetrating as it should. The Bible said that my word is spirit and my word is life. He said, the word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway. But look what God put in my heart to tell the audience today. God said, I'm not happy with you delivering my word because some of you are entertaining and not proclaiming. I'm going to repeat that. God said, I'm tired of you entertaining my word. I want you to proclaim my word. The word that I've given you, the word I entrusted in you. God said, I want you to start speaking my word out to the people. I want you to take the Logos word from my mouth that I speak to your spirit, and I want you to use it in the rhema format. I want you to speak what I tell you to speak. I want you to hear what I told you, and I want you to speak it through my word. I want you to, when I woke you up in the middle of the night, I told you what I wanted you to tell the people. And I want you to look at his word and compare it and put it together and compare the spiritual things to spiritual. God said, I don't want you to entertain. I want you to proclaim. I want you to proclaim my word among your family. I want you to proclaim your word in front of your enemies. I want you to proclaim my word from those that are lost. He said, if the gospel is hid, it's hid from those that are lost. God said, stop entertaining, and I want you to start proclaiming. I want you to go forth and bring forth my word. I want you to speak what I tell you to speak. You are my mouthpiece. The prophet of God are the mouthpieces of God. The evangelist today is the mouthpiece of God. Amen. The apostle is the mandate mouthpiece of God. The pastor is the mouthpiece of God and the teacher. Why are you that instrument? He said, Christ let captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. What are you saying? My word is life. I'm the living God, and I want my leaders to proclaim my living word to the dead world. The world is looking, but the world can't find, because I hid my light that brings forth life. Let me repeat that. I'm hiding my light that brings forth life. If I can bring forth life through my light, then the world will be illuminated and alive. But why do I seek for the living among the dead? The dead, the Bible said, the dead knows nothing, but the living know that they must die. God is not interested in dead folks. God is interested in reviving you, stimulating you, activating you, causing you to come aright. He wants to regulate your mind. He wants to stimulate your mind. He wants you to have passion in your mind. I was talking to somebody this week. I didn't know him from Mickey Mouse. Young man, articulate, spoke to me. I felt something in the spirit. I don't know if he's a Christian like I am, but I felt something in his spirit. I told the young man, I said, you know what? I said, can I tell you something? And I said, I'm not saying it in a bad way. He said, go ahead, my brother. I said, I fell in love with you right now. He looked at me a little bit, not strangely. I said, the reason why I fell in love with you, because as you begin to talk and introduce yourself to me, I felt the love in your voice. I said, sometimes we need to tell one another we love them. He said, you know what, you're right. He said, some people have told me that I need to express love more. He said he thought he expressed it, but the love is sometimes can be expressed in you. When you show forth love, you show forth a life, because God said God is love. And love is greater than death. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love causes animation. And where there's animation, there's life. And God's saying that I want you to speak love to people. Because why? And when you speak love to people, people come to life. How many of you out there were dead? In your mind? In your mindset? In your purpose? You was dead in your creativity. You had no ministry in you because you were dead. But then when you heard the word of God, it impregnated you. When I say impregnate, I mean there's something in you hidden to be revealed. I used to just like that word. Someone said, man, you impregnated with praise. Like, oh, my God, they're so carnal. But impregnated doesn't mean the same impregnation with someone, a man and a woman. Sometimes God can put something in your stomach God can put something in your spiritual womb and impregnate you, and then it's hidden for such a time as this. And then when you bring it forth, sometimes it's painful. Some of your ministries are painful to bring forth. You went to display it, and they rejected it. That's pain. Some of you having labor pains. Some of you having long, excruciating pains. You see, you can't get your message out because somebody's rejecting you. But God said, if you keep pushing, I'll bring it forth. You keep pushing, I'll cause your ministry to come forth. If you keep pushing, the pain will no longer be pains of sorrow, but pains of joy. God said, I want you to push what's in you. I want you to push. I birth something out of you, but I want you to recognize that it's a living ministry. I want you to recognize that what God has put in you is not dead. They said it was dead because it wasn't their baby, but God said, I want you to bring forth that living ministry. I want you to bring forth that living calling. I want you to bring forth that living purpose. God is a God of the living, not of the dead. And you got to realize today that what's in you needs to come out. Oh, my God, I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited right now. I'm getting excited because we're dealing with not of a God of the dead. We're dealing with a God of the living. We're talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're talking about the God that told Abraham in chapter number 12, verse 1 through 3 of the book of Genesis. He said, Abram, which means exalted father. You see, God, I'm going to tell you something first of all. God, I take your name and change it. You know, some of y'all have some deplorable names. Some of you was called, considered, labeled as a pimp, a prostitute, a nomad, a nobody. But when God picked you up and turned you around and placed your feet on higher ground, now you're called evangelist, brother, apostle, prophet, pastor, you know, reverend. God exalted your name because you once was dead, but God raised you up. But some of you hate that title. But God said, I want you to proclaim what you used to be. You are a preacher. You are an evangelist. You are a man or woman of God. You need to put back on your hat and begin to work the work that you worked before you killed yourself. God wants some of you have ministerial suicide. Some of you have killed yourself. The people didn't kill you. You killed yourself. But God said, I want to patch you up. God said, I want to put into your veins my blood. I want to put into you something. I want to raise your spirit up. I want to revive you. I want you to live again. I want you to believe that I give life and not your education. I don't give a care what school you graduated from, but the Bible said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will give you what he needs. I know my ABCs, but God said, I want to take you higher. I want you to speak a God's word that I'm speaking to you, and I want you to speak it out into the Ramah. I hope somebody's hearing me today. God shift me this morning. He's a God of the living. He's not a deadbeat God. He's a faithful God. If it was not for the Lord, we would be consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful. That topic was talked about I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. God is faithful. God is so faithful that he's faithful to cause you to live each and every day. Every day you wake up, you should be thanking God for living. Every day you wake up, you thank God for a new lease on life. Thank God for purpose within you. God ain't here to kill you. God is here to bless you. He told Abraham in chapter number 12, verse 1 through 3, Abram, I want you to leave your father's house. I want you to leave your kindreds. Leave those that you're comfortable with. Leave your homies alone. Leave your neighborhood. He said, I want you to go to a place where I will show thee. He said, I will make your name great. You know three major religions, just to digress for a moment. You know three major religions looked at Abraham in a very powerful and effective way. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. But Christianity and Judaism looked at Abraham and Isaac as significant. But Islam looks at Abraham and Ishmael. Okay, anyway. So God said, I'll make your name great. And then he went on to say, I will bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. But look at this, the most significant part of here. Let you know that God is into living family. He said, through you, Abram, through your lineage, all the families of the world will be blessed. And that promise that Abraham, that God made to Abraham, he later on changed his name from Abram, exalted father, to father of many nations or father of many, Abraham. He changed his name and went into the glory. Then we find out that the covenant was filtered down from Abraham to Isaac. He told Isaac the same thing. Then Jacob. He changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. And Israel had 12 sons, and the 12 sons represent the nation of Israel. And 90% of the Bible talks about this family. But look what the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, verse 1. He said, Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham and the son of David. But we find out in verse number 17 that Jesus Christ came down through 42 generations. I'm talking about a living God now, a God with a living plan, a living design. God is a living engineer, honey. God declared the end from the beginning, let you know how living he is. The Bible says from Abraham to David was 14 generations. He said from David to the Babylonian exile was 14 generations. And from the Babylonian exile to Jesus Christ was 14 generations. And if you have a calculator, I want you to use the calculator and punch in 14 times 3. That's 42. So Jesus came down 42 generations. But then we found out something here. We found out in the book of St. John's Gospel that the Bible said Jesus came to his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave them power to become sons of God. And then Paul picked it up in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, starting at verse 11. He said, remembering in times past, ye were Gentiles in the flesh. You were called the uncircumcision by that which was called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand. But look at the five-strike rule of death that was on us, saints. He said in verse number 12, and at that time, number one, ye were without Christ. That's number one. Number two, ye were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Number three, you were strangers of the covenant of promise. Number four, you was without hope. And number five, you was without God in the world. Now tell me something. If I'm without God and I'm without Christ and I don't have any promise and I'm not associated with the people of God, what do I consider you? Dead, Fred. But look what he said. Don't look for the living among the dead. God raised. He said, but at that time you were afar off, but God, you that were afar off were brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. And he is our peace and made both Jew and Gentile one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. But look what he said in verse number 18. We both having access now to the living God through the Spirit. See, the Spirit that we receive gives us life. I once was dead, but now I'm alive through the Spirit of Christ Jesus that brought me back to God. Because look what happened in the Garden of Eden. See, God's shifting me somewhere here. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam, he said, Adam, you can eat of all the trees of the garden. But the one that's in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat that. You cannot eat that. He said, the day that you eat, ye shall surely die. What are you talking about? Surely die. When God says surely die, that means you're going to die physically and spiritually. And we found that out. When Adam ate of the fruit, Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree, they instantaneously died spiritually. They had what you call a spiritual disconnect. Then the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter number 3, verse 19, he said, from dust thou art, to dust thou shall return. He was already cut off spiritually. But he said, now when you reach 930 years old, now you're going to physically die. So when Adam got to 930, when he ate of the fruit, he was already dead spiritually. But when he got to 930 years old, he died physically. So there was a spiritual disconnect, and then later there was a natural disconnect, which he surely died, which that brought on the law of sin and death. But look what Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. He said, wherefore, now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He said, now the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free, hallelujah, from the law of sin and death. He said, what the law couldn't do, it was weak in the flesh. But God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that we may manifest the righteousness of the law, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We've been dealing with a God of the living, not of the dead. God is concerned of your lively hope. God is concerned of your lively ministries. God is concerned with your ideologies being put forth to life. God is looking for your philosophical views to be lively. God said, I want you to be alive in me. Look what he said in the book of Revelations. God is a God of living protection. God is a protecting of the living. You said, what do you mean by that? You heard that song? He said, victory, victory shall be mine. Oh, victory, victory shall be mine, shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Now, vengeance belongs to God. I repeat. Vengeance belongs to God. Why are you fighting your own battles when God said, I'm here to protect you? He says in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 30 and 31. Look what he said in verse 30. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense or reward, said the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. But look what verse number 31 of chapter 10 of Hebrews says. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I said, my God is living. While my God is living, you can't do nothing to me. If my God liveth, you can't put no curse on me. You can't put no spell on me if I'm connected to God. If I'm connected to God, I'm alive. If I'm connected to God, I'm protected. If I'm connected to God, no death, demon in hell can take me over. Do you remember what God told Job? Or God told Satan in the book of Job? The Bible said when the sons of God gathered themselves together, behold, Satan was also there. And God said, whence cometh thou? He said, I'm walking up and down, to and fro in the earth. He said, why are you looking among the dead folks? Have you considered my living servant Job? What made Job living? An upright, perfect man. He is sure of the very appearance of evil. But look what Satan came back to say. He said, is Job serving you for naught? In other words, is he serving you for nothing? The reason why he's serving you, good Lord, because he has a head, you have a hedge around. He said, but put forth thy hand, and he'll curse you to your face. But see, God knows your heart. When you're living in God's presence, when you're living in God's parameters, when you're living in God's will, there is something there that attracts God to you. There is a spirit of love. There is a spirit of admiration. There is a spirit of dedication. There is a spirit that God can use. He said, take all that he got. Mess with his things. Hasabosha. Take his car. Take his things. Take his success. Take his money. But leave his life to me. Because where there's life, there's hope. God is not looking at your car. God is not looking at your apparel. God is not looking at your hair getting done. Neither is he looking at how well your mustache is trimmed. God is looking for someone with a clean heart. God is looking for someone with a devoted spirit. God is looking for someone that's committed to what he instructed you to do. Because God is not a God of dead folks. God is a God of living folks. And God says, you that are dead, I want you to connect yourself back to me and I'll give you a a spiritual transfusion. God wants to transfuse somebody tonight with living water. God said that if you believe in me, as the scripture that said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living waters. God said, I want you to connect yourself by the washing of the water of the word. I want you to open up your heart. I want you to open up your mind. I want you to open up your spirit. I want you to open up yourself that I can pour into you my living word, that when you speak, animation will come forth. When you speak, life will come forth. When you speak, everything will come to life around you. Your family will come back to life. Your job will come back to life. Your ministry will come back to life. Your church congregation will come back to life. Those that are dead around you shall live. Ooh. God said, I'm trying to revive you. God is not a God of dead folks. God is a God of living. The very fact you're living today, God got purpose in your life. You're not here because you're God's gift to women. You're not here because you're God's gift to men. You are here as a gift to the world. God said, I need living organisms. I need living ministries. I need living leadership. I need living things. Because why? In God, all things live. Look what he said in the book of Psalms, chapter number 24. He said, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all the habitation and everything belongs to him. But look what the angel said to the prophet in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. He said, the whole earth is full of his glory, God's glory. That's why God told me to tell you today, God said, stop entertaining, but I want you to start proclaiming. See, if the whole earth belongs to God, God knows how to entertain. When you watch the bee go into that flower and extract that nectar, God is entertaining. When you see the spider cast forth his web in the various beautiful shapes and sizes, God is entertaining. When you see the pelican go from one part of the air to the other, God is entertaining. When you see the whale, the humpback whale, travel from one side of the world to the other, God is entertaining. When you see the flies and all the living creatures, when you see the sun rise and the sun go down, God is entertaining. When you see the moon come up and go down, that's God entertaining. God's world is entertaining us. God said, I don't need you to entertain. God said, I want you to proclaim my word. Jesus told his apostles and disciples, he said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's Mark chapter number 16, verse 15, y'all. He said, he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils. In my name you shall speak with new tongues. And then he went on to say, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What are you saying? God is a God of living. God said, when I change you from death to life, I'm entertaining. I know how to show up and show out. He said, I showed out one time when the Egyptians were after the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. And it was at the mouth of the Red Sea. And God told him, what do you have in your hand? He said, I got this rod. He said, stretch it out. See, God was entertaining, the living God. And all night long, the north and south winds begin to blow. See, God believes in animating things. And then God said, told Joshua that I'm going to open up the Jordan for you. And then he said, I'm going to do another classification of entertainment. I want you to march around the walls of Jericho. Uh-huh. And then he went on later and told the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said, now I want you to go around in the fiery furnace. See, God will get in your fire. I said, God will get into your fire because God is a God of living. God will get into your circumstances and cause you to come out. God will get into your situation and turn things around. God will get into your muddy waters and heal you. God will take that dry up and take that issue and dry it up. God is a God of living, y'all. And God's saying today, I want you to stop entertaining, but I want you to start proclaiming my word, because my word is spirit and my word is life. It's fearful to fall in the hands, not of an angry God, but a living God. God is a God of the living. Therefore, so God is a living protector. Vengeance is his, as we said in Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 30 and 31. He is a living protector. Vengeance is his. He said it is fearful. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But let me go a little further with this. I'm almost half finished. God is a God of living choices. God is a God of living choices. He said, where did you get that from? Well, give me a chance. I'll explain it to you. Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 11, verses 26 to 28. I said Deuteronomy, chapter number 11, verses 26 to 28. Look what he said here in the children of Israel in the wilderness. He said, verse number 26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Number 27, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you this day. Number 28, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known. Why look for the living among the dead? Why are you going back to the old way of worship? That's dead stuff, you. You're messing with dead stuff. God said, I've elevated you. I put your calling to a higher calling. I called you out of uncleanness and caused you to come forth into holiness, and you're going back to the very element that I got you out of. God said, I am not pleased with you going back to your dead ways. He said, I elevated you and translated you into the living ways. But he said, if you come back to me, I will bless you. But if you're not hearkening to me this day, I will curse you. It will not be beneficial to you. You will not be loved. You will not be blessed. You will be cursed because you won't hear me. As Evangelist Adrian already said yesterday, what the Lord mandated. He said, repent and turn from those old ways. Come back to me. The Lord, I didn't even know that the Lord dealt with it in a way, but the Lord shifted me this morning. The Lord shifts me this morning to say, don't talk about what you're going to talk about, but I want you to talk about what I'm going to put in your head. I'm going to give you a low-best word, but I want you to bring it forth in the rhema. I want you to bring forth a spoken word. I want you to bring forth that word which is written. I want you to bring forth a rhema word, but I spoke to you in the Logos. I've given you an idea of what I want you to say. I've given you a concept of what I want you to say. And now I want you to speak it out, what I put into your mind. And I want you to speak it in a rhema word, in a rhema way. I want you to quote my word through the Bible. I want you to bring forth the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I want you to bring a rhema word. But I gave you a logos thought. God said, I'm trying to give you a logos thought. But he said, trust in me with all your heart and lean not to your own way of thinking. He said, get out of your ideologies. Get out of your philosophical views. I want you to come back to me like you used to. Before you became famous, you used to call on me. But now you got a library. God said, even with your library, I want you to sometimes get on your knees and acknowledge the power of knowledge. I am the God of the living. I will regulate your mind. When I breathed in the man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, I caused the brain waves to cause you to come to life. When you're brain dead, you are dead. Let me repeat that. When you are brain dead, you are dead. If you don't believe me, go to the hospital sometime, intensive care, ICU. People laying up there, breathing good. Yes, got air in their lungs because the machine is pumping it. But some people are gone because no brain waves. Because the brain wave activates the heart. The brain wave activates the lungs. The brain wave activates the vital organs. But when God breathed in the man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, he stimulated my mind. He stimulated my brain. He caused brain waves to come out. And that's why God said, I want to speak a Logos word in you. I want to put into your heart the word by word. David said that I hid the word in my heart. Hatamosha. That I may not sin against you. He said, my word is life. My word is me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same in the beginning was with God. God said, I am my Word. When I speak, things happen. He said, let there be light, and there was light. God spoke into your spirit. And when you speak into your spirit, what God has poured into your spirit, you will talk like God. You will bring things to life. Look what, let me digest for a moment here. Look at the prophet. The prophet died in the Old Testament. And they put the prophet in a tomb, in the grave. And then it came a time where they was getting ready to bury this man. And they dropped the dead body on the bones of the anointed prophet. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. And when they dropped the man in the hole or dropped him in the grave where the prophet's bones were, the bones caused the man to come back to life. Do you not know God got so much life in you? You can touch folks today that can come back to life. God said, I want you to interact with people. I want you to get out there and lay hands on folks. I want you to impart life from you to them. I want you to cause people and heal their bodies. I want you to cause people to be made whole. I want you to speak life into people. I want you to speak my words to people that they can be lively again. Now, stop looking for dead folks when you don't have the power to make them alive. God said, I made you a lively stone. Why aren't you lively among people? Why you keep on being disenchanted and discombobulated and disoriented? God said, I spoke to you. God said, I did not give you the spirit of fear. I gave you the spirit of love and power and a sound mind. God said, there's no fear in love. For perfect love, cast out fear, for fear is torment. Ain't no need to fear. Our Lord God is here. Because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And they that dwell belong to him. So God is a God of living choices. I just told you from Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse 26 to 28, that I set forth blessings and cursings. If you hearken to me, you will live with the blessings. However, if you don't obey my commandments this day, I will have a curse upon you. Now I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 30. We're going to read verses 15 to 20. That's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter number 30, verse 15 to 20. Look what he says here, starting at verse 15. He says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Let me read that verse again and let you know. Today, see, God has set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Number 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess it. Number 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, or worship other gods, and serve them, number 18, I denounce you unto you this day, that ye shall surely perish, and that he shall not prolong your days upon the land, rather thou passest over Jordan to go possess it. Number 19, I call heaven and earth. I call heaven and earth to record or record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, we talk about God of living choice. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I want to read 19 again for you out there that don't believe in what God is saying. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou, both you, and thy seed, your family, your descendants, may live. We're talking about a God of living choices. Number 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give him. Did not Jesus say that? He said the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob is our God. He is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. God is trying to bring forth to us today that he is still living today. He's all around us. He's in the environment. He's in space. He's in the mountains. He's in the sea. He's all over the world. He's around you. The Bible said, he that fear him, he gives his angels in charge over you. God, if he can protect the lilies of the field and feed the animals, how great is we as human beings? The Bible said, David said in the Psalms, he said, what is man that thou art so mindful of? And the son of man that thou visit him. So the Lord isn't the God of the dead, but the God of the living. That means everyone is alive as far as God is concerned. You said, I'm dead. You said, I'm no good. You said that my ministry wouldn't prosper. You said that I will not grow. You said that I would not prosper. You said that I would not be healthy. See, that's what you said. But look what God said in his word. He said, let every man be a liar and let God be true. See, when God say I live, I live. It doesn't matter what you tell me. It doesn't matter what you say to me. It's what God is saying. And if God said I'm going to live, I'm going to live. If God said I'm going to prosper, I'm going to prosper. If God said I'm going to be healthy, if you got cancer, you're going to live. If God said you're going to be healthy, if I got diabetes, I'm still going to live. God is a God of the living and not a God of the dead. Then why are you going back to your old mindset? Why you think you're going to die? You ain't going to die. God just wants to know how long you're going to be faithful to him. God wants to know how long you're going to believe in him. God wants to know how long you're going to stay in touch with him. Because if you stay connected to God, God will stay connected to you. And God told me to give you a rhema word and said that I will be with you even to the ends of the earth. God said it, and that settles it. God is a God of the living, not a God of the dead. God is life. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. God wants to enhance our lives. God wants to secure us. God is not interested in you being miserable. God wants you to know that he is. Look what he says here in 1 John chapter number 1, verse 4. Not St. John, I said 1 John chapter number 1, verse 4. Now, we know that the Apostle John wrote 5 books. You know that, right? What are they? Yes, you're right. He wrote the book of St. John's Gospel, or the Gospel according to St. John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Epistle of John, and he wrote Revelation. Yes, he wrote 5 books. But look what he wrote in his first epistle. Because in order for me to have access to the living God, I must have relationship with him. Let me say that again. In order for me to have access to the living God, I must have relationship with him. If I'm not connected to God Almighty, I am dead. I am dead without God. I am useless without God. I am abominably out of it without God. Without God, I can't speak. Without God, I can't see. Without God, I can't live. Without God, I'm not happy. Without God, I have no energy. Without God, I'm nothing. Look what John said in chapter number 1, verse 4. First of all, let me read verse number. In fact, let me go ahead and read verse number 1. 1 and 1, starting. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Number 2, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Number 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He went on to say in verse number 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be filled. Now, that's powerful. That's powerful. I told you in previous times, and I got it in my books I'm going to publish in the future, that I don't want to just only show you what I know. I want to also share with you what I know. Because if I only show you what I know, I'm only going to give you as much as I think you should have. But if I can share with you what God has given me, when I speak that rhema word from that Logos thought that God gave me, I can be able to impart life to you. I can be able to raise you up with the words that God has given me. The life that he's given to me, I'll share with you that you'll be able to get what you need and more. That's what John was doing. John said, I write these things unto you that your joy may be filled. Why? Because our God is a living God. He's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. Isn't that wonderful to know that God loved us so much and cared for us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I write these things that I just showed you, what I felt and what I handled and what I looked upon, what I gazed upon. I experienced Jesus Christ, John said, for 3.5 years. You have not seen him. But yet I want you to believe what I'm writing unto you. I'm writing to you to let you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and eternal life is in his name. That's what he said in St. John chapter number 20, verse 30 and 31. I want to share with you what I've learned and what I've seen. And some of you, God said, I want you to stop entertaining. I want you to start proclaiming what I put into your spirit, what I put into your belly, what I put into your ministry, what I put into your mind. Some of you are authors that won't even write. Some of you are preachers that won't even preach. Some of you are exalters, but you won't bring forth exhortation. God said, I made you for the living. I made you. I purpose you to put life in the people. I caused you to live. I want you to cause other folks to live but through my word. But you won't do it. And he's asking today, why won't you do what I told you? Oh, Lord God. Why won't you preach? Why won't you teach? Why won't you show others what I showed you? Why are you so selfish and self-centered? Why are you just think about you and your family and not have a special love for the household of faith? God said, what is wrong with you? You act like a dead man. You act like a dead woman. You act like a dead person. He said, I am not a God of the dead, but I'm a God of the living. Why won't you proclaim my word? Why you keep entertaining? Yes, we know you have great athleticism. Oh, we know you can articulate so well. But look what the Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians. He said you can have the tongue of men and of angels and have all knowledge and have all faith to tell the mountains to be removed, but not have charity. He said, you're like a sounding brass and a tingling. Some of you speak well, but the anointing is not in your speech because you have not sought the Lord for the anointing. You're seeking the Lord for the crowd. God said, I can bring forth the crowd. I'm trying to speak into people's lives. I will fill up your church when you fill your heart with love. I'll bring your ministry to the forefront when you begin to seek me for me and not for you. I'm a God of the living. Stop praying prayers for mega church. God said, I want to give you a mega mindset. I want you to have a mega anointing. Where when you speak to the animals, I heard my great-grandfather was a Methodist preacher, pastor. They say that the word of the Lord was so great in him, and he was so anointed and illuminated that when he preached, the animals would come to the window. The animals would come from the field and listen to the words of the man. But look what the Bible said. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature or creation. Do you not know when you speak the life of God in you? Do you not know the animals will hear you? Do you not know the spirits will hear you? Do you not know the enemy will hear you and convert? Do you not know the game lenders will hear what you're saying? The pimps and the prostitute and the hustlers? Do you not know the murderers can hear the word of God and be saved? But you won't speak the life of God that he's given you. God said, I want you to start pouring in. I'm going to pour into you my word, but I want you to start speaking it. I'm going to give you a Lagos word, but I want you to speak it in the rhema. I want you to tell the people what I told you. I want you to confess what I brought forth to you. I want you to purge your mind right now and start rapping and start preaching. I want you to stop singing and start bringing forth hymns. I want you to bring spiritual songs. I want you to bring melodies because you said giving praise unto the Lord. Stop entertaining and start proclaiming. I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but somebody's not doing their job. I don't know who I'm talking to, but God said, straighten up or you're going to be dead. Not maybe literally dead, but your ministry will die. Your ministry will dry up like a prune, like a raisin. That's right. The prune comes from the plum and the raisin comes from the grape. I'll take a grape and dry it up. I can take a plum and dry it up. And I definitely can take your ministry and dry it up. I can take the activation of your gift and dry it up. When you start talking, folks will start running away. But God said, I want to draw folks by the words that you speak. I'm a God of the living. When I speak, everybody listens. God said, I want to use you. You are an instrument. Some of you in certain areas, and you won't even love. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glory. God said, sometimes, see, in evangelism 101, some say, well, I don't know how to witness. The least you can do in your witnessing is pass out a track. Some of you won't even pass out a track. Well, I don't know how to do it. Make one up. What do you want to convey to folks? The word is already lively. Won't you sometimes take the time out and think about what you want to put on paper and then pass it out in the neighborhood? All you can do, if you can't speak, put forth a tract because my word is spirit. That word you write down is a rhema word. That is a rhema word. When you write down the word of God on paper, it's a rhema word. If you speak it, it's a rhema word. Rhema word is a spoken word.
It's a written word. But God said, I just want you to write things down. God said, I want to speak to you directly. I want to give you a logos word, or logos. Logos is a good word, the pronunciation for logos. So logos or logos, it doesn't matter. Okay, we know what you're talking about. But God said, I want to give you an idea. I want you to be a man after my own heart. I want you to be like David, Lord, according to thy loving kindness and the multitude of thy tender mercies. Lord, blot out my transgressions. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. God said, I want you to tell me you want me to live. He said, Lord, some of you need to pray the Lord for new life. Oh, Lord. Some of you need to say, Lord, give me new life. I want to relive this thing. I blew it the first time. I want to relive this thing. I want to do it again. Some of you need to go back and do it again. Do it again. Some of you need to go back and rework what you worked before. You know how to do it now. You messed up the first time because you took wrong advice. But God said, I'll tell you how to do it. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. He said, amen, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God said, I want to direct your steps. He said, my word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway. He said, I'll guide you where you need to go. But ask me, and I will put a word in your heart, and you can speak the word that's in your mouth. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart flow the issues, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. But look what the word said here. He said, as a man thinketh, so is he, and as a woman thinketh, so is he. But look what he said. He said, amen, lean on me and don't lean on your own understanding. He said, in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. But why should I my path be directed by the Lord? Because the Bible said in Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse 9, he said, the heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? God said, stop entertaining, but start proclaiming. I'm almost finished. I'm excited for what I'm saying today. Because what I'm saying today, I did not study it. What I'm saying today is coming directly from God Almighty, because I don't think like this. I don't think like this. Now, I was going to entertain if I was to say it without practice. I practiced what I was going to talk about this week, but what I'm talking right now was no practice, because I deal with a living God. I am tapped into the source. I'm considering the source that I'm tapped into. My source created the heavens and the earth. My source created the universe. My source created good and evil. He created light and darkness. My source created Lucifer that became bad. My source created the angels. My source created me, and my source will bring me through. I serve a true and a living God. You said, this brother is so animated because God is in me right now, and he's in you. I just want you to take about 10 seconds right now and praise him. I want you to praise him right now in 10 seconds. Just start praising him for anything that he's done for you. Think about something he did for you and praise him right now. Right now,
thank
praise
you,
the living God right now. Oh, praise the
thank
living
you.
God right now. What has he just done for you? Praise him right now. Let's extend this praise for 1 minute. I want you to take 1 minute and praise him for what he's done for you. And then I want you to praise him with all your heart and praise him with all your mind and praise him with all your soul and praise him with all your words and praise him with all your body and praise him with all your words and all your mouth and all your ears. Praise him right now. 1 minute. 1 minute. Come on. Clap your hands. Come on. Praise him with your mouth. Praise him. If you're on an instrument, praise him right now on your instrument. If you're driving, park on the side and praise him right now. He's worthy to be praised. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And they that dwell belongs to him. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And in his right hand there's pleasure forevermore. Oh, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is that King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The Lord of the living. The God of the live. God
God is a God that's not dead. He said, God is not dead. He's yet alive. I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. I feel the anointing right now. And as I close right now, I want to let you know that my God, he is able to keep me from falling. My God is able to renew my faith. My God is able to give me another chance. If you sin, just start repenting. If you're dead, just start moving. If you don't have a shout, make it up. Everything that have breath, praise the Lord. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noonday. Praise him in the midnight hour. Praise him right now. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. He's a God of the living and not a God of the dead. God bless you. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
God. Oh, Lord, I thank God for that word today. Oh, those of you that's listening, I tell you, you know when God is doing something great.
Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Oh, thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Dr. Singleton,
I
want you to know that word was so powerful. And as you began, when you first came on the line, about 10 or 15 minutes after you were in the mess, into the word, we had about 10 demons signed on the chat room. Lord, Lord. And they began to say some horrible things. I kicked them off. One of them asked me, could I count to 10? So he was letting me know that he was sending 10 of them on the line. They said one of them name was, we expect a lesions. Holla. No, what was his name, Sister Ruby? We are legions. Expect us. And then they bombarded the chat room. So I wind up, glory to God. This word has been anointed today. It's been anointed all week. And yesterday I had to go there from Romans chapter 1. Uh-huh. Amen. We're not trying to be disrespectful to no one. But guess what? You have to know who you are. Dr. Singleton already prayed. God is a God of the living, not the dead. And I tell you, the devil is angry, but that's all right. We have power. If the devil don't come, we ain't doing nothing. That lets you know you ain't doing too much. But when you are doing something, you are preaching the word like Dr. Singleton have just finished preaching, and as that word went forth all this week, do you know to stir these devils up? Sister Ruby, I haven't seen nothing like that. Bombarded the chat room. I had to kick him out. Liberal Democrat is on the line, and he will witness to that effect. Oh, God, I thank God for this word. My God, my God.
Oh, thank you.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Amen, amen. We're just so happy to have Dr. Singleton's uncle with us today, Uncle William. And I'm going to open up the line and just let him greet us. And we're just so happy to see him on the line and come on to hear this word by his nephew. So God bless you.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, Pastor Singleton, he really blessed me. I was just following him as he was in the scripture. And the scripture came to my mind, 2 Corinthians. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. And it says, furthermore, when I came to Troas, to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord.
Okay.
And I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and making manifest our savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and them that perish. Now look at here. Now he was talking about the blessing and cursing, and that God is everywhere. And we are supposed to preach to the living and the dead. Now look at what it said here. To the one, we are the savior of the of death unto death, and to lot to the other, savior of life unto life, and who are sufficient of these things. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as a sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. Praise God. Pastor Singleton, you're a mighty man of God. Stay strong in the Lord. Be strong. You are strong in the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we're going to preach the gospel to the world, to the church, because we're commanded to go out and preach the word. In season, be instant, in season, out of season. Yes, and I want to take that also your a challenge to keep teaching and keep sharing God's word. I hope who's ever listening that they take that take on that message and just step out in faith. Don't worry about what other men think. Just do it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you. We thank God for Uncle William being on with Dr. Singleton's uncle. But before we open up the lines to the rest of you all, I want liberal Democrats to just tell you all about their chat room for a moment, and then I'm going to bring on Prophet Michael Davis, and we're going to pray against these demons, and then we're going to get right on into letting the other callers have a comment. Amen. God, liberal Democrats, God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've seen it. When they came in the room, I looked at that name, and I sent you a private. I said, woman of God, like, that name Legion, I said, get ready, because that you know, Legion was in the Bible. That's what the devil called himself. Amen. And I said, so get ready. You know, we backing the people of God up in prayer, because something's about to happen.
Right.
I said, I don't know. I might be reading the name wrong or something, but that it looks like that's what it is. And then the woman of God sent me back. Well, we watching it. Amen to God. We looking at it. We got it. We checking it. Amen to God. And you know, and we went back and forth covering the line, going back and forth on some things. And the next thing I know, I look at it and I see the room flooded. Amen to God with all those names and whatnot. And I'm like, wow. See, so amen to God. When the Bible says in season and out of season,
that's right.
We want to hear it when they don't want to hear it. Amen. He said something today, because the you upset hell today. That means the truth was going forth. Amen. So I like that. I like that kind of preaching. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Anyhow, that's what I was saying.
Amen.
Preach that thing, man of God.
You know,
amen.
Yesterday when I went through Romans and talked about those spirits, you know, and what have you. So they had already made up their mind yesterday. They're coming out in full force today. They didn't care who was speaking today. They didn't want to hear.
Right.
I begin to
Amen. Well, see, the Bible says there's going to come a time we're not going to endure sound doctrine, but they're going to heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. So they're going to flock to those inspirational speakers. But when they talk, people don't even talk about heaven and hell no more. So when people are talking about a life, like you were talking to us about, amen, God has a standard. So when you add a standard to it, it's a difference. But Greg Groeschel got a book out, if you guys get a chance and whatnot. Greg Groeschel got a book out and whatnot. And he talks about the people, what do you call it, Christian atheists. You know, they say they believe in God, but they live like he don't exist. And stuff and this is what's been going on now. It's a movement going around and whatnot, you know, talking about how because God died for your sins, everything goes and you know, you should be able to get to heaven because it ain't got nothing to do with you, you know. So you can everybody going to heaven. That's this new doctrine, new age teaching. Wow. It's called the doctrine of inclusionism. And, you know, you heard about it a couple of years ago when they was having panel discussions about it, where they were saying, well, Jesus died for everybody, so you ain't got to do nothing. You ain't got to live no kind of way, and you can still get to heaven. And so this new doctrine is out, and you know Galatians warned us, if you hear any other doctrine, any other gospel, let that man be accursed, right? So we know we're living in the last days when we hear this new gospel. That's why they feel empowered to come online and shut people down, because they said, now we got the law on our side. You know, if you're in a if you're in a church and it's a nonprofit organization, it's a state church, and you got tax exemption. So if you speak about these certain things, they can remove your tax exemption from you. So that's why they feel empowered now to try to shut speakers down and people talking about doctrine, because this new doctrine of inclusionism saying everybody going to heaven now. it's systemic now because the law behind them. So, amen.
So
we got to pray.
Thank
amen
God
to God.
That you were right there praying with us, and you were a witness to it. And I, you know, was telling Prophet Davis to come on the line. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
So I'm going to open up the line to Prophet Davis. God bless you, Prophet Davis.
God bless you. How are you? Glory to God.
All
thank
right,
you,
Dr.
Jesus.
Davis.
Amen. God is good. God is good. Now we know that no weapon, Isaiah 54:17. And we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Yes.
And another thing we know clearly is that now their father Satan, the people that follow darkness, the people that follow their pernicious ways, the people that follow the flesh, their father Satan was cast out of heaven. And we know that he was cast out of heaven, glory to God, and he is already defeated. Mm-hmm. He's afraid of the righteous. The righteous are not afraid of him. He's afraid of the righteous because the work that was done on the cross has already defeated Satan. Jesus said, "For this cause came I into the world, that I might destroy the works of the devil." Now they know that they are fighting a losing battle. So why cry? Why scream, why yell, and why holler when you already know you're wrong? Now, you're following Satan. You're following Satan, your father. He's already defeated.
Amen.
He's judged already, and he's going to hell. That's
right.
His destination. If you choose to follow along with him, then that's where you're going to. Now, you have a chance today to go ahead and give your life to Jesus Christ, and we forgive you. We don't hold nothing against you. We understand that right now you're just deceived. We were all once deceived and living in darkness, but we came into the marvelous light. Why? We heard the gospel, and we repented for our sins. God has given you the same choice. Now, you know goodness well, you're not fighting against people, huh? You're fighting against God. Now, you put yourself in a position to fight against God's word, and you've already lost. Because you can't defeat God. Who do you think you are? You're a human being. You can't defeat God, who created the heavens and the earth, huh?
Yeah.
Who spoke the world into existence. Are you fooling yourself? So, therefore, this is your opportunity to repent for your wicked ways and just give your life to Jesus and come on the side of victory and stop being on the side of the loser. Now, you're a smart person. I'm going to talk to you intelligently. Surely you're intelligent. You know the difference between right and wrong. Surely you have common sense. Surely you are not an ignorant person. Surely you have common knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, or else you would not have a conscience. So therefore,
yes,
I simply invite you to leave the wickedness of Satan, leave the devil, go ahead and leave him now, go ahead and tell him you resign from being under his control, and just come to Jesus. Give your heart, give your life to Jesus, surrender to Jesus, put your hands up in the air, and come to Jesus, and give your life to Jesus.
Hey,
put your hands in the air, because the only way you're going to change your condition, the only way you're going to change your life is to simply come to the one who paid the price. Jesus defeated every devil. Wait a minute. Let me say it again. Jesus has defeated every devil. It's already
Lord, I bless you.
It's under his foot. And because we're his children, according to Romans 20, 16 and 20, Romans 16 and 20, Satan is under our foot. So Satan is actually already defeated. You know that. Now, you're making all of this noise. You want all of this attention. If you really want attention, let me tell you how to get it. Let me tell you the right way to get the attention. Let me help you here. All right. This is how you get the attention. Leave the devil alone. Come to Jesus, who paid the price and defeated Satan on the cross. You know what he did. Come on. You know exactly what he did. He went down to hell. He defeated every devil because there was no sin in Christ. See, there was no sin in him. That's why he went and took, what, the keys, which is authority, to death, hell, and the grave. Okay? He went down to hell and defeated your father, the devil. He defeated him. Okay? Satan is defeated. He's a loser. He got kicked out of heaven. He got evicted. He can't go back in there. Not to live, only to visit to accuse people, that's all. Because he's miserable. He's unhappy. He's sad because he's no longer an angel of light. So he has to now pervert people who will believe him. See?
Wow.
He's a perverted spirit. He's the spirit of perversion. Spirit of perversion means mockery. Spirit of perversion means deception. Spirit of perversion means he's a liar. Okay, now you're smart. You're not going to follow a liar. Surely you're smarter than that. So since you're so smart, you know that Jesus is God, and you know that he cannot be defeated. So since you're so intelligent and so wise and so smart, simply come to Jesus, give your life to him. You'll be saved too. Then you'll be helping other people not to go to hell. Isn't that a great idea?
Wow.
So, simply just come to Jesus. My assignment is to simply invite you to Jesus. And I'll remind you of what Jesus said in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 13, to Sodom and Gomorrah. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord had sent us to destroy it. He's talking about the angels that have come to wreak judgment upon those that do wickedness. Not just homosexuals, but all people who do wickedness. They will be judged and destroyed. And that's God's judgment because he's sovereign. And he can do whatever he wants to do, and you can't question him because he's the king. And when a king decrees something, it is established.
Amen. Glory to God. We thank you.
So my job is to simply give you another opportunity. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to do anything negative to you. The only thing I'm going to say to you, I'm going to extend the opportunity for you to give your lives to Jesus Christ. Here's the prayer. Just repeat this after me. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and you came to earth, and you died on the cross for even my sins. And Jesus, not only did you die, but you went to the tomb, you were buried, and on the third day, you rose with all power in your hands. And now that all power is in your authority, all authority is in your hands, now we know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I give you my life. I surrender my life to you that I may have eternal life from the only one who can offer eternal life.
Amen.
And now, this is what the Bible says. I will give you a final word, John 3:16 and John 3:17. This is so simple that even a child can understand it. So this is another opportunity for you to simply accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. Okay, here it is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Watch this. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name, that's Jesus, of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because
light.
Their deeds
were evil.
Glory to God. God bless you.
Amen. Well,
glory
this
to God.
Has been exciting. I'm still excited about Jesus. I don't know about you.
Hallelujah.
But I'm still excited about this word, and I'm still excited about what God is doing. We still have about 14 callers on the line.
Wow.
Got to open up the lines, please. Please do not be extensive. We want to give everybody a chance to respond to the message that Dr. Singleton have preached on today. Remember your brothers and your sisters. Amen. I'm going to Minister Aaron Singleton. Then I'm going to go to Sister Verona. Sister Verona. Amen. Aaron, God bless you. Is the lines open up? Thank you, Prophet David.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. This has been a day here. Woo. Did you get him? Did you get Aaron? All right. Hold on one second. We're trying to open up these lines. Woo, the enemy is angry today, Dr. Singleton. Well, I'm going to go back to Dr. Singleton until the line opens up.
Glory to God.
The devil is busy.
Oh, he gets no.
He gets upset with you today.
He gets no glory. He gets no victory.
No glory.
He gets no victory.
Right, and we're going to try to open up these lines. We still have 14 callers on the line. And did it open? Okay. Dr. Singleton, we're going to let you come back to you. We see Minister on the line, Aaron. And I see your cousin Ron is on the line. We see Evangelist Morris, Sister Kim. We see two unknown callers. We see the young man from yesterday, Muhammad. Amen.
Oh,
we also welcome Uncle William on the line. So go ahead, Winnie. We're trying to open these lines.
Are you want me to speak, say something?
Yes. God bless you.
Yes. We just thank the Lord.
Sister Corinthian also on the line. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. You know, it's something. I've noticed over the years my father has a very effective deliverance ministry. And I've noticed down through the years that when my father has went to different revivals and did things, especially with the gift of healing that he had and the different gifts of deliverance, and it also correlates with the Bible said in the book of Job, when the sons of God gather themselves together, Satan is there also. So a lot of times give the indication that God is in the midst when you start seeing Satan come around. And this should give you an indication that God is moving, because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why he told us to put on the whole armor of God. We have to equip ourselves because the enemy is coming against us. And then the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. There are churches today, there's people today that were once taught the truth. They're hating now because they see the contamination, but we're supposed to love. The Bible says you can have the tongue of men and of angels and understand all mystery and have all the faith, and you can have all these gifts, but if you don't have the love of God in you, you cannot affect people. So, you know, Satan is expected to come when you're doing something for God. Therefore, don't be dismayed when you see Satan. When you see Satan around, rejoice, as the prophet said. Because why? He is already defeated.
That's right.
How? But
that's
we have to rejoice because we made it.
That's right.
And so
that's
we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So, you know, I thank God for this day today. I thank God for Prophet Davis and all others that have been a part of this wonderful broadcast during the week, because it's letting people know that true word is coming forth on this broadcast.
Amen.
And I don't know about other broadcasts, but this broadcast is good. Okay.
Amen. Well, I got the lines open. Let me try to get a comment from some of our listeners. Minister Aaron Singleton, God bless you. And then we're going to Sister Verona, and then we're going to get to the rest of you all. Brother Muhammad, we'll give you an opportunity to comment, and please make it brief. God bless you, because we're going to try to get to the rest of the call. Minister Singleton, Aaron.
Just like I told you, Cousin Adrian, your number one broadcast, this is the one. The devil ain't going to get on no deadline. He's not going to get on no dead broadcast. He want to get on some line that he know that God is moving in the midst of these souls getting saved, and he's lasting evil days. He ain't going to get on nothing that's messy. He want to get on something that's talking the truth. And y'all talking the truth. He don't want to be with nothing that ain't doing nothing. This is the time and day that you got some true men of God on this line and true women of God on this line. And if it wasn't for God using you, Adrian, oh, my God.
No
weapon formed against us don't prosper. Of course, he's going to have all these people getting on the line. But the thing is, God allowed it to happen before the time. He knew it was going to happen before. He knew the thoughts are far off before they even enter into our mind. He already set this up. God set it up for us to see, but the devil just what happened? You caught him at the right time. He couldn't do nothing. That's why he ain't gonna get on nothing dead. He gonna get on something alive. I told you the number one broadcast, and what my cousin was teaching about is truth. We need that, but we don't see that. A lot of us got callers, and some was called, and some was. And I'm just gonna say this. I'm gonna get off. Some was called, and some went. The ones went look like they're doing good, but they're not. They're blessing themselves. But the ones that's called is suffering. That's why the enemy getting on, trying to mess it up. But ain't no weapon formed against us going to prosper, you lying wonder out there. And what Prophet David was talking about, he ain't lying. Why are you wanting, you human? Why you want to mess with God's people? Because you know God is doing something. Something is about to happen. That's why you got to get ready. God is about to set you up for the number one broadcast. And the devil knows who he's trying to get his people to get on the way to try to knock you. But he said,
we're getting rooted,
God
like
said,
the Democrats said, we're getting rooted.
That's right. All we can do right now is laugh at the devil. You lying wonder. We caught you.
That's right. Sister Ronnie, come on. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you, Winnie. Winnie, I'm telling you, I thank God for your obedience today. I thank God for your obedience because you preached a rhema word. Do you hear me? I'm not even going to comment on the other stuff because that was a rhema word. And believe me, it reached. And it was imparted. And I thank God for it today. And God bless you all. Adrian, I love you and all what you're doing. I am just praying. And I'm telling you that was a right rhema one-time word. And I'm walking it.
God bless you. Woo, God bless you. Evangelist Cummins, I tell you. God is doing something. Evangelist Cummins.
I'm fired up.
I like that.
The Lord is doing something. Yes, Shay. Thank you, Jesus.
We've got
God. We thank God for Dr. Singleton Jr. God bless you. God bless you, Evangelist Bernard, Sister Ruby, and Prophet Davis and Prophet Harrison. Yes. All God bless you all, and all the songs and honor due. I thank God for that rhema word today. I'm fired up. Thank you, Jesus. When the devil gets mad, you know you're standing on God's word. God is using you. Hallelujah. I just thank God for all that was said today. Just bless you. Bless you, Evangelist Bernard. Bless you for standing for truth.
Amen. God bless you.
Blessing.
Amen. We're
God
going to Sister Corinthian. Is that Sister Corinthian? Amen. And then we're going to the brother of Muhammad was with us yesterday. Sister Corinthian?
First, giving honor to God and to all who want us to do. I so greatly appreciate God for that word today. I was so down in my spirit. But I thank God that that word really encouraged me to want to go out and tell these dying souls about Jesus. I thank God because I do have the word in me, and I thank God because I am impregnated with the word of God, and I want to go out and I just want to just tell the people about Jesus. Yesterday I missed my opportunity, but I won't do it again, and I just thank and appreciate God for being mindful of me for me to even get on the line. You know, I normally don't call in on my cell phone because my cell phone is minutes, but I felt compelled today. It was something in my spirit just telling me to get on the line today, and I didn't even worry about the minutes. I got on, and I thank and appreciate God for what my ears have heard, and I'm so full, and I just appreciate God for all things in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. We're going to go to Brother Muhammad? God bless you, young man. How are you today?
God bless you. God bless you guys. I love you guys. I just want to say I really do love you guys, and I want to say continue to keep listening to the living God that is in you. I want to say something about that old serpent that got kicked out of heaven.
Okay,
see,
make
in heaven,
it brief because we still have about 10
and I
more
am,
calls.
I'm going to make it brief.
Okay.
In heaven, see, heaven is a place of joy. Heaven is a place of peace. Heaven is a place of love, and heaven is the place where the Spirit dwells.
Yeah.
The thing is that Satan truly didn't really want to leave God's side. He was
That's
jealous
a lie.
And got upset when
That's
when,
a lie.
When, you know what I'm saying? He got upset when
That's
God,
a lie, my friend. That's not the
no,
doctrine
brother,
of the Bible. That's not the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says there was a war in heaven, and Satan and his angels fought,
and
Michael and his angels fought, and Satan was kicked out of heaven.
Yes, yes.
His place was no longer found there, my friend.
Yes, and you're absolutely correct.
Are you denouncing Muhammad?
And I agree.
Do you denounce
no.
Muhammad? Huh?
Say that again.
Do you denounce Muhammad?
I am a follower of Christ, and what I'm saying
is that
Satan... I said,
do you denounce Muhammad?
I am a follower of Christ.
Do you denounce Muhammad?
Muhammad is my name.
Do you denounce the Prophet Muhammad?
No, I'm not a Muslim, brother. I'm a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that when God presented, the Son of God before the angels in heaven, Satan got upset. And he caused a war in heaven because he didn't want to bow down and serve the Son of God. And what I'm saying is that now that he got kicked out of heaven and the Son of God is in us, he's trying to do all that he can to get inside us and steal our joy and steal our peace and steal our hope and our love, because he know that in us is the Son of God. He know that in us is the place that he wants to be God in, but he can't be God in us anymore. And what you're seeing now that's happening today in the world is that Satan is trying to be God in people, but people need to know that Christ is in them.
Jesus.
He is the Son of God.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ is in us.
Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Jesus.
Well, God
Jesus
bless
Christ
you.
Jesus Christ is in us.
We thank
like
God
that.
For you. Amen. Let's go to another caller. Let me go to Sister Kim. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless each and every one that's on the line. And all I'm going to say is amen, because the word has been spoken. So I'm just going to say amen. God bless you. And I've been on fire all week because this has been truly a blessing for me all week. And I just thank
amen.
God for each one of y'all.
Amen, amen. Thank you. We're going to area code 760. The last four of your number is 4328. Can you greet us? Area code 760. 4328 is the last of your number. If you would like to greet us, you can. Tell us who you are. If not, God bless you. Amen. Amen. We're going to Sister Ruby. God bless you.
You got more here. Well, praise the Lord. We got a few more. I could have waited to the end because it was just a... I just thank Jesus.
I don't see nobody else. Oh, I just thank everybody.
Okay, I just thank Jesus Christ for this anointing that's been on this. Yeah, been on this broadcast all the time. He said this book, but it just seemed like it's more power and anointing. Dr. Winnie, I said, you coming on? Oh Lord, I'm. He got me here, just going in circles. The devil. We've been warned in the spirit, in the chat room. I mean, it's been on, but we know that God is able. Oh, he fights the battle and not us. So, Dr. Winnie's just been a blessing today. I'm going to go back in the archives because I couldn't hear all the words because we've been here warned with the devils. But anyway, it's just a blessing, and the anointing has been on this broadcast, and the Lord is elevating and y'all more and more, Dr. Winnie and Prophet Davis and every, just more anointing. I'm just overjoyed, so God bless and love you. Take care, Dr. Singer, Winnie.
Amen, amen. We're going to go to Evangelist Doris, and then we're going to wind on up. I know God is pleased with our work this week. God bless you, Evangelist Doris.
Yeah, God bless everyone. The word was just powerful, powerful. I'm so blessed. But I want you to know that early on in the week, Prophet was telling you that this broadcast is about to take a whole other turn since last week, something like that. And the enemies have heard, and they are coming full force because the prophecy is coming to fruition. That's why.
Wow.
So they gather and they know the blessing of God is coming. And another thing, I don't know if you forgot, but you announced that Prophet Michael was going to be on today. So they gathered to come today. You see? So that's what I'm feeling in my spirit. They thought Prophet Davis was going to be on the broadcast today. So that's just what I'm feeling in my spirit. But God is about to do big things, and God bless everyone. Thank you so much, Evangelist Bernard. God bless you.
Amen, amen. I sent out a text saying Dr. Singleton was speaking today. So Prophet Davis did get on the line today. Wow, God. And that devil knew we had a strong arm in here today. Hallelujah. Glory. Aaron is on the line. And I know he ain't afraid, and Prophet Davis showed nothing. Ooh, how many want to laugh at the devil today? Hallelujah. We got the victory. And all we got to do is walk in. I'm going back to Dr. Singleton for his final comments. And Prophet Davis, if you have anything else to say, Minister Aaron, God bless you. If you have anything else to say, I'm going to you all right now. This has been a powerful week. I tell you, Prophet Davis, we want to thank you again for doing that three-part series on Why Seek Ye the Living Among the Dead, and when you just came culminated, and the enemy came from everywhere.
Yes, he did.
We know this one thing. Watch this. We know this one thing. He's afraid of us.
Yes!
We always got to remember that the enemy is afraid of us because of Jesus Christ. When Legion came to Jesus, you have to remember what the scripture says. They asked permission. Can we go into the pigs? Can we go into the pigs? Don't cast us out of this territory. Oh, Legion, you foul spirit, you weak devil, get thee behind me, Satan! So Jesus said go. He just gave them one word: go.
Go.
And they went into the pigs, and they jumped into the water. So I guarantee you, I had to offer them salvation.
All right.
I had to do that because when we stand before God on that judgment day, he says, well, did you offer them salvation?
Mm-hmm.
So I offered them salvation. If they reject salvation, then they're automatically condemned.
All right.
Automatically condemned.
Wow.
They can never say that we came to persecute them. We only came to offer them salvation. If they reject salvation, they condemn themselves.
Wow.
My God, it was a setup. It was a setup. My God. So I just thank God for you, Dr. Singleton. I thank God for your the fire and the enthusiasm in your message today. I thank God that you set a fire and a flame to the people, and I even thank God for my enemies.
Yes.
See, we supposed to thank God for the enemy. Why? Because we know, one, he's defeated. Two, God allowed it. Three, we going higher.
Come on!
That's right.
Hey!
That's right.
We're going higher!
That's right.
And that guy, and I'm going to tell you something. The Lord gave me a word for that guy named Muhammad. God said, ask him, does he denounce the prophet Muhammad? God asked me, do you denounce? Because it's what you're dealing with, strategic language.
Mm.
Any Muslim, any person that claims to be with God and has come from the Muslim faith, if they don't declare that they denounce this prophet Muhammad, they are still in allegiance with him.
Wow.
That's the key. Do you denounce Prophet Muhammad? If they do not agree and denounce him, they're still in allegiance with him.
Wow.
So anytime you run into one of those guys that say, oh, we're with Christ, and he would never say the name Jesus.
Oh, he never said Jesus.
He only said Christ. You got to listen to these devils. They sneaky. That's why God had me to bust him out.
Wow.
Oh, we don't look here. I'm waiting for y'all sneaky devils. I know all about y'all Muslim folk. Now you come to Jesus, that's okay. But don't be trying to come like no counterfeit, because you're gonna get busted over here. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Back to you, Dr. Singleton, man.
Hey, that's right,
man. I thank the Lord that we have Holy Ghost bouncers in the house today. We can't let everybody into the party. Right.
We enjoy
Jesus.
I would like to thank everyone for being a part of this wonderful family, and I've seen over time that the family of Christ in this broadcast have grown immensely. And I'm just so happy because, like we talked about earlier, God is the God of the living. And if he's living, if he's a living God in our midst, things will grow. And so, therefore, that means that this is a progressive ministry. And we thank God for the quality. And a lot of times I'm starting to ask God not for the quantity, quantity, but the quality. Because the quality, because he said you can have two or three touching on one thing in the earth, and I'll be in the midst. So if we can just have a few good men and few good women of Christ, we can be able to discourage and destroy the mediocrity of the abundant mass. And so I just want to thank you, Evangelist Adrian, and all those that was on the line. I just thank you for allowing me to be a part. I just thank you for continue to pray for me that I will allow God to use me and that I will allow him to continue to increase me in not just my words but my living. And therefore we can live what we preach, then we can be even greater effective. So thank you very much, Evangelist Adrian, and thank you, everyone, the co-host, and also to Prophet Davis and all the others. And we just thank you for allowing us to be a part. Thank you.
Amen. We thank God for your uncle still on the line, Uncle William, and certainly we'd like to extend an invitation for him to come back and minister whenever he has availability. So we're going to ask him. We just want to let him know that we certainly appreciate him tuning in today. God bless you, Uncle William.
I am blessed. I am blessed. I enjoyed it.
Wow.
It's my first time. being on my phone here, I can't quite hear when I speak, so it kind of gets quiet. I don't know why. I can hear everybody clearly, and this is wonderful communication, and it is not only just communication that is wonderful, but it's anointed. This is anointed. This is a wonderful experience. I would never forget.
We have some live experiences on this live. It don't get any better like than this, even if you're in a building. We can't see them, but we can discern these spirits on this line. You know, I just thank God for his people.
Yes. God bless you. Thank you for the invitation. Yes.
You are so welcome. You're so welcome. We're on this line Monday through Friday, and we're here to preach and teach the gospel, and we don't get into any debates, but if Prophet David's on the line and somebody speaks something other than the word of God, he will certainly address it. We thank God for the men of God. You know, it's a blessing to have men standing at the forefront. Many times,
yes,
you know, the women are the ones that's going forward. But we thank God for gracing us with men, true men of God, that's not afraid and don't fear and will speak the unadulterated word of God. And that's the only way people will come to Christ. When you speak firm, when you speak this word, because remember Jesus said, with love have I drawn thee. So we have to continue to preach and teach this gospel. And it's not going to be something that people willingly accept. But does that make the word of God of none effect? We still got to preach it whether they want to hear it or not. Amen. We just bless the Lord for Dr. Singleton coming and taking out of his busy schedule today. And certainly please go back into the archives or to our website, and you can listen to these messages this week. I tell you, Prophet Davis spoke under the mighty hand of God Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. This has been a powerful week. That's all I can say. So tune in. We'll be back on Monday. No, we'll be back on the line tomorrow. Those of you that can make a sacrifice, we have Elder Albert and Minister Billy Burns out of Raleigh, North Carolina. They host our segment on Saturday morning at 5 a.m. California time, but it's 8 a.m. on the East Coast. And this is a time when you have a testimony and you want to share what God has done for you. This is your opportunity to do so on Saturday mornings. And on Sunday morning, we have early Sunday morning prayer, which is a corporate prayer. We just come together and we pray for different things and our families and the nation and our leaders and our communities on Sunday morning for about 30 minutes. So that's at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Amen. So we bless God for you all. We thank you once again in the name of Jesus. And we're going to just ask Prophet Davis to dismiss us with the word of prayer, and we'll see you again next week. Again, if you have any subject matters, anything that you want to inquire about concerning the word of God, and you want to see us bring on people that can open up our understanding, email us and share that information with us, and we will certainly try to have that topic on this line. I thank God for Minister Aaron and Cicerone and Evangelist Doris, Sister Kim. We saw Sister Patrice on the line also today, and all of the other callers that have called in. Evangelist Cummins, we certainly appreciate Evangelist Cummins and thank God and ask that God continue to strengthen her where she can get the full capacity of what she needs for her bones and muscles, that she can get back on the firing line for God. Amen. Prophet Davis, God bless you.
Father, we thank you in heaven for this week, for this has truly been a powerful week, a week of powerful, anointed word, word that comes to destroy the works of the devil. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and those who are willing to accept salvation shall receive eternal life. Now, Father, those enemies that tried to come against this ministry, we bind them in the name of Jesus. We cancel the works of Satan. We cancel his plots, schemes, and plans, and that we cancel the assignment of the devil against this ministry. No weapon formed against this ministry shall prosper. Father, we thank you that we bind the works of the enemy. We bind him and shackle him in the authority of the name of Jesus. We put gags upon his mouth, blindfolds upon his eyes so he cannot see. And now we cast him forth as far as the east is from the west for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you'll even anoint this ministry even the more to proclaim the word of God. Now send souls, Father. The devil has sent false witnesses. Now send true witnesses to come on the line so that they can also receive from the Lord and to declare the word of truth. And Father, we thank you that many souls will be saved through this ministry for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Protect Evangelist Bernard. Put a hedge of protection around her. Protect her emotions. Protect her by the blood of Jesus. Release mighty warfaring angels around her for the glory of God in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for every caller that came in and heard the word of God and has a sincere heart to serve you and to follow you and to keep your commandments. And Father, we thank you most of all for now promoting your people, promoting this ministry, and promoting the word of truth, which is what we preach. And we will stand together. We cannot be divided. We will stand together against every wile of the devil, every trick of the enemy. We will stand together because a threefold cord is not easily broken. An enemy, when you try to come against us, we will stand together against you, and you will be defeated in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you. Bless you. We glorify you. We magnify you because you're good all the time. Hallelujah. And you have victory in everything that you do. And because we are your children, we too have the victory. And we are never defeated in Jesus' name. Thank God.
Glory.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
Thank you, God.
Thank God. Thank you, God. Thank God. And amen. And amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, glory.
Lord, we bless you. We gonna call God our creator.
To the sea, they all give you praise. Continue. cover my soul.
So now I lift up these hands of clay to give you the glory and worship your name. My heart rejoices, for this I know. Created to worship you.
That's my family out of Lansing, Michigan, you all. We'll see you on Monday. Amen. And I pray everyone have a glorious weekend. In Jesus' mighty name, let the blood cover you wherever you go. Amen.